Hello friends, this is Doug Batchelor. How about a few amazing facts about water? 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated. In 37% of Americans, the thirst mechanism is so weak that it's often mistaken for hunger. Even mild dehydration will slow down one's metabolism as much as 3%. This is why lack of water is the number one trigger of daytime fatigue. A University of Washington study revealed one glass of water will shut down midnight hunger pangs for almost 100% of the dieters studied. Preliminary research indicates that 8 to 10 glasses of water a day could significantly ease back and joint pain for up to 80% of sufferers. A mere 2% drop in body water can trigger fuzzy short-term memory trouble with basic math and difficulty focusing on the computer screen or printed page. Drinking 5 glasses of water daily decreases the risk of colon cancer by 45%, plus it can slash the risk of breast cancer by 79%, and one is 50% less likely to develop bladder cancer. It's obvious from these facts that sufficient water can eliminate or ease a whole host of common health problems. Did you know the Bible also teaches that living water can do the same thing for spiritual dehydration? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn much more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live, brought to you by Amazing Facts Ministries. Are you looking for a clear, concise answer to your most challenging Bible questions? Maybe you're struggling to understand difficult passages of Scripture. If so, you've come to the right place. Join us now as we open God's Word to discover His will and find honest, practical answers to your Bible-related questions. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible question, call us Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, author, speaker, and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome once again, listening friends, to a fresh installment of Bible Answers Live. This is a live international interactive Bible study. We invite you to participate by listening. And if you have a Bible-related question, give us a call. That toll-free number is 800-GOD-SAYS. That acronym is 463-7297. And we have a very special program lined up for you tonight. Pastor John Ross is at a speaking appointment out of town, but we have a special guest in the studio I'll introduce in just a moment. But as always, we want to begin the program with a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you again for this day of life and the opportunity to know you better. Lord, we pray that you'll take charge of this broadcast, that it might exalt your word and glorify your name. And it's in that name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight, friends, we have a special guest in the studio. Dr. Neil Nedley is a full-time practicing physician in internal medicine in Ardmore, Oklahoma. He's an internationally known speaker and author of some very popular books, including the book Proof Positive, that talks about the relationship between nutrition, lifestyle, with Bible background for the evidence that's there, a very popular book. And most recent book is talking about depression recovery, and it's dealing with depression, the way out is the title of the book. And he travels all over the country and the world doing these seminars that have become very popular, helping people understand the principles of the Bible secrets connected with health and how they can feel better, live longer, and have an abundant life. And happy to also say Dr. Nedley is a friend of mine. We're just delighted that, Neil, you could be with us here in the studio tonight.
Well, thank you. It's my privilege to do so. I've heard of Bible Answers Live for years, but it's really an honor to be able to see how it's done.
Well, this is exciting, and this is a first, friends. Tonight what we're going to do is, in addition to whatever other Bible questions you may call in, if you've ever had any questions about what the Bible might have to say about different health principles. What a lot of people don't know is the Bible is not only a book rich in spiritual information, it has a lot of very practical information related to living longer, feeling better, diet. We get a lot of questions, Dr. Nedley, in this program about what does the Bible say about the dietary restrictions and the various health laws, and were they nailed to the cross? Are they still practical today? And I'm thankful that we have a highly esteemed medical expert here tonight that can address some of those. So we're even going to pass by our regular internet questions, and we're going to invite your questions on the subject of health. Right now is a great time to pick up the phone, friends. It is live tonight. If you have a question, the phone lines are open. So pick up the phone, give us a call. That number again is 800-GOD-SAYS. The Bible is our source book, 800-463-7297. Now, while you're calling in with your questions, I think I should also tell you we have a free offer we thought was appropriate for our study tonight. We were talking a minute ago about the amazing facts about water. The Bible talks about water. The best water, of course, is that living water that Jesus speaks about. Jesus tells us that if we come to him, he will give us that water of life. John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And of course, in John chapter 4, the Lord spoke to that Samaritan woman there at the well. And he said that he would offer her a living artesian water that would be in her heart. So there are, of course, health benefits in real water. And you can't have eternal life without Jesus, the living water. Our free offer for tonight is a very popular Amazing Facts study guide dealing with some of the principles of health from the Bible. It's called God's Free Health Plan. Folks are surprised and amazed to learn how much the Bible says about the subject of health and how you can have a more abundant life, you can feel better, and you can live longer. If you'd like our free offer tonight, it's a free phone call, 1-800-835-6747. To receive the free study on the Bible and health, God's Free Health Plan, 1-800-835-6747. Dr. Nedley, I thought this was a very practical thing to talk about tonight because, you know, there's a health care crisis in North America. And it's being discussed a lot in the election pundits and the fodder that's flying around.
And health care plan insurance is on the marked rise.
It's an astronomical rise. It'll probably be influenced a little bit by the projected inflation they're anticipating.
Exactly. Yeah.
And folks are wondering, you know, what are we going to do about this health care? How can we afford the health insurance? And what most people don't know is that so much of our money that we spend on health could be saved if we would practice prevention.
Absolutely.
And then also the Bible principles for recovery.
If we put God's free health plan into usage, it's clear that the cost of health care would go down by at least 80% in this country.
Whew. That's a staggering figure, but I believe it. So much of the health problems are induced by our lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you and I were talking the other day, and we said, you know, all we have to do is sit down at a typical American supermarket and look in the baskets of what is going out the door into the people's homes and refrigerators and ultimately their bodies. And it's no wonder that people are struggling.
Yeah, the cans of soda pop and the packs of cigarettes and the alcohol. Just those three things alone are causing untold misery.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's the incredibly high content of sugar. And some people are eating themselves to death by overnutrition.
Yeah.
Rather than undernutrition.
Even Solomon understood that. He said it's not good to eat much honey.
That's right. A little bit is good. Eat honey for it is good, but too much honey will make you vomit. That's right. Well, we're going to go to the phones, and we invite your questions. If you have any questions on health tonight, of course, we welcome any questions, but we're going to give preferential treatment tonight to any questions you have on what the Bible might say about health or health secrets. And Dr. Nedley is also a Bible teacher, and you not only practice internal medicine, but you give Bible studies.
Yes.
So we let you weigh in on any Bible question tonight if you'd like. We're going to start by going to Roberta, who's listening on WBAJ calling from Lexington, South Carolina. And we want to welcome you to the program. Roberta, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi, Doug. I just wanted to say thank you for taking my question. And also, I wanted to tell Dr. Nedley, thank you so much for all of the work that you do. We listen to you here on WBAJ, and I take a lot of information that I hear from you and apply it with my patients in diabetes education, and they're just having some wonderful results. So thank you, Dr. Nedley. I didn't know that you were going to be on the show tonight, but I do have a question that's not related to health. I do not believe in the secret rapture, but in the biblical second coming of Christ. And I would like to know, to what extent will Satan be able to deceive believers by mimicking the events described in the Left Behind series, especially when people disappear and vaporize, that sort of thing?
Well, on some of that, we can only speculate. Roberta's asking, of course, about the when we say secret rapture, I mean, virtually all Christians believe the Lord is coming and that those who are alive and saved will be caught up to meet him. The dead in Christ will be caught up also, and caught up is where you get the word rapture. The concept of the secret rapture is a comparatively new doctrine, and many have thought that, you know, one of the ways Satan is going to impersonate or deceive people, impersonate Christ and deceive people in the last days, is by mimicking certain things. And, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 16, it says that these spirits of devils working miracles will go forth to the kings of the earth. And so the devil does have the power to work miracles. How far can he go? Well, the devil can make someone sick. Well, let's talk about health for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he can then remove that and make it look like they've received a healing, but it's really sort of it's a reverse healing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I don't believe, of course, the devil is going to be able to mimic the ultimate evidence of Jesus coming, which is the Lord coming in the sky. So, you know, he'll be doing things on the ground to create distractions and miracles. The devil can create illusions of light. He used to be an angel of light. And so there'll be some of that, I expect. But I wouldn't turn on my TV if someone said, hey, you know, right now CNN is interviewing Jesus. He's appeared in Jerusalem. I wouldn't even turn it on. Because, you know, he does have incredible power to mesmerize and deceive people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helps a little bit, Roberta. You know, we do have a book that is called Anything But Secret that deals specifically with the subject of the secret rapture and some of the misconceptions there. Would you like a free copy of that?
Well, we have it. Thank you very much, Doug.
Oh,
but
okay.
I just didn't know what I would be able to say to folks if folks just disappeared, and we would have to try to explain that.
You know, I don't think the devil is going to be able to manufacture an illusion of a mass disappearance.
Right.
The kind of thing Satan might do is fill the streets of New York with some demons one day and then make them disappear, but it'd be pretty hard, I think, for him to counterfeit millions of real people disappearing all over the world.
Thank you.
But Satan's going to come and there's going to be a lot of mass deception. Appreciate your question, Roberta. And with that, we're going to go to line one. And Iva's been waiting patiently, calling from Shreveport, Louisiana, listening on KQAR. Welcome, Iva.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. And your question tonight?
My question is that I joined Air Force military a year and a half ago. And I guess I was kind of a liberal Christian, and I prayed about it for 6 months, and I thought God clearly told me that, yes, it's okay to join, and he's okay with that. But now, when I came to Freeport, God has been working in my life, and I have become a more strict Christian, and I've been reading Joe Cruz, Enemy at the Gate, and your book, Compromise, Conformity, and Courage.
Yes.
I'm in a medical field, and I talked to my commanders, and they told me that they're going to try to work with me as much as possible. But yes, sometimes there's going to be times when I do have to work on Sabbath. So my question is, some of my friends say in my church that I should go right now and demand to get out of military because it's not good to never work on Sabbath. I mean, I should just go and get out right now. And the other group of people in my church are saying, no, I should be a little patient and God will show me the way out and I should keep praying about it and I shouldn't make a scene out of it. And I'm kind of torn between.
Well, that can be a struggle. Now, how long did you sign up for?
6 years. So I have 4.5 more years.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a stretch before you. You're in the medical field in the military?
Yes, sir.
What do you mind my asking? What department or?
Pharmacy technician.
You were in the pharmacy. And your convictions are now that that's not emergency work. I mean, obviously, if I should suddenly fall over right now and begin to have heart problems, and if it was the Sabbath, I don't think Dr. Nedley would have a problem working on me. You know what I mean? So if you're working
right.
for people to heal them, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. There's no question about that. But
right.
you're in something of a compromised position right now because, you know, you've made a commitment. When you signed
right.
up with the military, that you would serve the country and you'd obey certain rules. And that's why it's very difficult for Christians, depending on your convictions, when you join the military, you really surrender a lot of your freedoms during that time, and they dictate your life and your schedule.
Right.
The first thing I do is I try to work with your commanders and say, you know, I've just come under, be very honest with them, I've come under great conviction about the commandments, and I'd like to apply to get this time off. Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Actually, I just a few weeks ago spoke to a captain of the U.S. Navy who also came under conviction. He actually read the Bible and came under the same Sabbath conviction. He had an advantage, however. He was already a captain, and so he could always schedule himself off on Sabbath. But he just recently retired, and he actually was part of a consensus group from the military to really put freedom of religion there. And so if you are convicted on this, and if there mm-hmm. is a religion who backs you up on that is a valid belief from the mm-hmm. scriptures, if it's not an emergency, they actually have to give that to you off as long as you are willing to make it up and work at times that they assign you that are non-Sabbath times. And I would also encourage you to be the best employee you possibly can be, the best pharmacy tech you possibly can be, because they won't want to be without that very good pharmacy tech and make life miserable for you to the point where you're no longer there if you're a very good worker.
Yeah, that's good advice. What do you think, Aiva? Will that help you a little bit?
Yes, sir. It does.
All right.
I know that I have to pray and I have to get an answer from God. So, but it helped. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Hey, we'll be praying for you. Well, it looks like, Dr. Nedley, we got a couple of questions here. Robert's calling and has a question from WMCA, New York, New York. Welcome. I said, Robert, I'm sorry. It's Gordon.
Hello.
Yes, and your
How
question.
You going?
Very
yeah,
well.
Thank you. That's good. I want to know, I'm having problems with the requirements for being saved. And two, I'm having concentration with my prayers. You know, it's like when I go, other thoughts kept climbing into my mind when I'm praying to God, you know.
Your mind wanders a lot, huh?
Yeah. And I've been saved. I got baptized last September, and I just have these little problems, you know, just coming in. Like it's almost like Satan's, trying to just misdirect my thoughts or something, you know. And I try to concentrate, and I try to close my eyes and ask God to, you know, to cleanse my body, mind, and soul through the Holy Spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and it works, you know. And when I concentrate, but a lot of times it just doesn't work.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
When you pray, do you have a place alone where you pray each day? Do you have like a closet, so to speak, you can enter into, or you know, a bedroom where you can pray out loud? Because you know, it's a lot harder for it's a lot harder for your mind to wander when you pray to yourself quietly. It's really easy for your mind to wander. When you're speaking to someone out loud, it uses a different part of your brain that actually makes you think about what you're saying. And so there's nothing wrong with praying out loud. The Bible says you should not pray out loud to be a spectacle, but Jesus right. prayed out loud. And so if you can get off by yourself, pray out loud, and you'll notice that it's easier to stay focused.
I'll try that then.
Now, another thing, not all of prayer, Gordon, is speaking. Some prayer is meditating and listening to the Lord. And as you're talking to him, sometimes, you know, he'll give you impressions as you pray. But, you know, you'll gain strength from prayer. Do you study the Word?
I need to do more of that. I've been kind of backsliding on that also.
Well, try and do some of the two together.
I'm trying to find different. Well, I'm reading John right now, and sometimes I go through a couple of chapters with it, then I stop. Next, you know, I'll pick it up again like a week later or something. I just need to continue just doing this. You know, I love reading it. I don't know what's going on.
How often do you eat? Three times a day?
Probably twice a day.
Or do you forget that?
No, I don't.
Well, in the Bible, Jesus says a man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. And so your spiritual body needs the nutrition or it's going to become famished.
Right.
So, hey, we'll pray for you that you can have a revival in your devotional life.
That's a good point,
Now, Gordon, we've got a special gift that we'll be happy to send you. If you call our resource line, it's 800-835-6747. We got a book called The Bible, The Ultimate Resource. We'll send you a free copy if you just call that number, 800-835-6747. Ask for The Bible, The Ultimate Resource. Matter of fact, Dr. Nedley, I think he'd really enjoy the Amazing Facts Bible Study series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just start out with that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Talking next, I had a false alarm a little earlier. Robert is calling also on WMCA from Bloomfield, New Jersey. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Good evening, Pastor and Doctor. My question is about, is there any books, whether it's in the Amazing Facts catalog or any that you know that deals with the Bible of foods, that describes the Bible of foods and the and their preparation, you know, whether it's vegetables or fruits or meats, et cetera, if you could recommend any.
Well, a simple starter would be the Bible lesson that we're offering that talks about some of the basics of what the Bible says about health practices, and that's called God's Free Health Plan. We'll send that to anybody tonight, Robert, that wants it. Okay. If Dr. Nedley wouldn't mind, I'm going to mention his website because he's got several books there beside the two books we mentioned at the start of the program. And that's simply www. People don't need to say that anymore, do they?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's drnedley.com. And that's Dr. NEDLEY.com.
And doctor is abbreviated DR.
That's right.
Without a period.
Thank
and then
you.
Nedley.
I should mention that because otherwise people write the whole thing out. drnedley.com. And he's got several books there that deal with health. We've got a section at the Amazing Facts website where it's got some health cookbooks. And I can't even remember them all because I'm not online right now. But that's a place to start.
And it also deals with the preparation. Okay.
Yeah, in the cookbooks, it talks about the preparation.
May I ask you one thing about we're on the subject of food. What is manna? Was manna something, a supernatural food that the Israelites ate, or was that actually the tamarisk plant, as some describe it as?
Well, it was actually delivered by angels. But manna, the Bible says, is coriander seed mixed with honey. And so it was actually a plant-based food, what we would call a complex carbohydrate. And that's actually good for brain function and good for energy.
See, I learned something there. That's good to know.
Thank you very much for your help.
All right. And but one thing I do know is the word manna was a Hebrew word, an ancient Hebrew word for what is it?
That's right.
Like, what's that?
So when we're running cooking schools and people taste the food and ask, what is it? We know we're getting pretty close.
That's a good idea. All right. Now we got another question. I think we got time for one more before our break. Going to talk with Barbara calling from Sacramento, California, listening on our mother station here, KFIA. Welcome, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I have a question for the doctor.
Sure.
And my question is this. I'm a diabetic, and I've been suffering for months now, severe cramping through my whole body. My trunk, it's like it's intense. I can't breathe sometimes. The cramping is so bad. When I talk to my physician, all she tells me is drink more water, and I can't really drink much more water, doctor. And I wondered if you had any insight on what could be the cause and how I could correct it through maybe diet.
Yeah. Are your blood sugars controlled?
Fairly good. Not as good as they could be. I am working. I'm working drastically on that. I'm trying to ask. I've asked God to help me be a lot better than I have been. But a general test, you know, in the 150s, around there.
Okay. Do you take insulin to control that or no?
Yes, I do. I've been on shots for about 6 years.
Yes. One of the things that I would recommend that can help is actually fiber supplements, and it can actually help control your blood sugars as well. There are three fibers together that if you take them 10 minutes before you eat, they may help significantly. One of them is called chia seeds, another one glucomannan, and a third one methylcellulose. And after that, eat just a soup and a salad and whatever else is healthy. Try to eat a little lighter. It will help fill you up, and it can also help clean your intestinal tract out and significantly help. That might be a start.
I appreciate that. Would you just say them once more?
Yes. Chia seeds, spelled like China without the N. Glucomannan, spelled like glucose, but glucomannan, M-A-N-N-I-N. And then methylcellulose. Methylcellulose is M-E-T-H-Y-L, and then cellulose, all one word.
Well, hey, praise the Lord. Hope that helps a little bit, Barbara. That's some new information I didn't know also.
Yeah, it can help with weight loss as well.
Yeah, just
for those wanting to do that. It's like having the gastric bypass surgery because it kind of fills you up, cleans you out, and you don't get near as hungry.
And probably a lot cheaper than gastric bypass surgery, I'm guessing.
Absolutely, and a lot less side effects as well.
Yeah, I hear that that's a little risky. You know, we've got about a minute before our break. I'm just wondering, there's an epidemic of diabetes. Barbara was just talking about, if you were to put your finger on one or two of the greatest causes in North America that's contributing to that, what would you say?
Sugar and fat.
That's pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
That didn't even take a minute.
Take the sugar out of the diet or anything that's like sugar, like honey or whatever, that is a sweetener, those false sweeteners. And there was a reason why we were supposed to cut the fat out of the food when we ate it, and that'll certainly help prevent diabetes.
That's right. And, of course, Dr. Nedley's referring to the biblical law that they do not eat blood and do not eat fat. And if people would listen to that, look at the incredible benefits that America would feel.
Absolutely.
Well, you can hear the music, friends. We're getting ready to take a break in just a moment. I'd like to remind you, if you want to know more about Dr. Nedley and his ministry, he's got some great Bible keys and secrets on health, as well as a very popular book on biblical principles that help recovery from depression. You can go to his website. It's Dr. Nedley, or standing for Dr. Nedley, drnedley.com. You just type in Neil's name, Neil Nedley. You'll find lots of information there. Also, don't forget the Amazing Facts website. We've got a lot there that deals with the subject of health as well. We'll be right back after the break, friends.
Bible Answers Live, return in just a moment. Remember to tune in to Pastor Doug's daily radio program, Wonders in the Word, and our weekly television broadcast, Amazing Facts Presents, which is aired on major networks including ABC Family, BET, The Church Channel, Vision TV, and Superstation WGN. Go to www.amazingfacts.org to find a station in your area. Are you in need of additional Bible-based materials for further study? Consider Amazing Facts' free correspondence Bible study course or our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. 800-835-6747. Don't forget, friends, Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry operating only by God's blessings through your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. Welcome back to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible-related question, you can call us from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sundays and receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. Call 800-GOD-SAYS, that's 800-463-7297. Now, please join us as we look to God's Word for more Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome back, listening friends. If you are just joining us, this is Bible Answers Live. It is a live, international, interactive Bible study, and it's brought to you by Amazing Facts. My name is Doug Batchelor, and we have a special guest in our studio tonight. Pastor Jean Ross is at a speaking engagement, but I brought in a friend who is an internationally known physician, Dr. Neil Nedley, is an internist. He's based in Ardmore, Oklahoma, but you travel all over the world doing the seminars on health and depression recovery. And what are some of the other specialty seminars that you do?
Well, we also do ones on anxiety, other mental health disorders, as well as cancer prevention, even cancer treatments through some natural means, and also heart disease and gastrointestinal disease.
That's quite a bit. And Dr. Nedley is very popular because he takes biblical principles and he shows the support from modern science of these basic biblical principles. And so we're glad to have him here on the program tonight. If you have any questions relating to the subject of health or Bible issues, health, what the Bible says about the diet, clean and unclean foods, if I were you, friends, I'd capitalize on Dr. Nedley being here. And we got a couple lines open. Give us a call. Once again, to call into the studio, that number is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. But I think we've got a general Bible question coming from Conrad in Brooklyn, New York, listening on the Internet. Welcome, Conrad. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is on Acts chapter 9, verse 7. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And comparing it to Acts 22, verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And somebody has said to me it's contradicting, but I don't believe it's not. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, well, they did hear something. You know, there's one example might be, first of all, it says they who journeyed with me, or the men. There's more than one, right?
Right.
When Jesus was baptized at the water, some heard God say, "This is my beloved son." But there's another place where the Lord spoke, and some thought it thundered, and others heard the voice and what it said. And this could be because there were several people around Paul when this happened. Some said, "Yes, I saw the light." Some said, "Did you hear the voice?" And they said, "No, I heard a rumbling." And others said, "Well, I heard the voice." And so it shouldn't surprise us because there's several people there. They've got different perspectives. Another thing to consider, if you look at the cross of Christ when Jesus was crucified, people have said there's a contradiction. Above the cross of Christ, it says this was Jesus of Nazareth, this was Jesus, King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. And why is there a contradiction about what was on the sign? Well, it says it was in three different languages. So it just depends on what language you're translating. So whenever you get several people's perspective on an experience, it doesn't mean that there's a non-truth there. It means that this is what they heard or saw. That help
so
a little bit?
From the mouth of someone else.
Excuse me?
So it's from the mouth of somebody else, pretty much.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, Acts is not written by Paul. Acts was written by Luke, who interviewed different people. And he says at the beginning of the book, he directs to someone by the name of Theophilus, that he had a perfect understanding, and he gathered this, you know, no doubt, in order for Luke to write about the birth of Jesus, he must have interviewed Mary. For him to write about Paul's conversion, probably not only, you know, talk to Paul, but when he went back to Jerusalem, he may have visited with some of the people who brought him to Damascus. Or the, not only that, but when Paul went to Damascus after his conversion, the people that carried Paul by the hand there must have met with Ananias and others. So there's just different reports that came in. Some heard, some didn't. Hope that helps a little, Conrad.
It helps, I understand.
Okay, appreciate that. Your silence had me worried. We're going to move on to another question. Let me see here. We're going to talk next to, looks like Dean might have a health-related question. Calling from Queens, New York on WMCA. Welcome, Dean. You're on the air with Bible Answers Live, and we've got Dr. Neil Nedley in the studio tonight.
Hi, how you doing? Well, I'm glad to be talking to you. first-time caller. Well, my question is basically smoking, and smoking of cigars occasionally for a Christian.
You're wondering if the Bible addresses this or if there's something wrong with it? There are a number of things I could cite. You're not going to find a scripture that talks about heroin or morphine or opium or, you know, all kinds of addictive drugs. Bible's not going to mention caffeine and a lot of other things. But that doesn't mean the principles aren't in the Bible.
Right.
On the typical cigarette pack in North America, after years of research, physicians insisted that the Surgeon General put a warning there that I think there's several warnings. One says, you know, this can cause birth defects. Another one says, you know, this can cause, it can contribute to cancer. And
yeah, and can cause premature death as well in not only cancer but heart disease. And it actually thickens the blood, thickens the platelets, increases the risk of stroke, heart attack. And the Bible does have a very concise statement about that, that says, thou shalt not kill, in the commandments. And that doesn't mean just others. It also means ourselves.
Yeah, that's self-murder.
Yes.
And, you know, some people kill themselves. They despair, and they might take a gun and shoot themselves. They die instantly. Some people might say, well, I'm going to take poison. It takes hours for them to die. Some people take poison that takes 20 years for them to die.
So I guess everything in moderation wouldn't apply to this.
Well, we're not...
Moderation is for the healthy things. The Bible is clear about abstinence being the best way. Peter talked about living a Christian lifestyle is to live an abstinent lifestyle. And what he's talking about is anything that's going to harm us, we should abstain from.
You know what I like to use, Dean, to help visualize what I think Dr. Nedley's saying is just the traffic lights. You've got your green, your yellow, and your red. And a red light is total abstinence. And there are certain things that I don't believe any believer should do because, for one thing, it not only hurts your body, it hurts your witness. If, you know, if Jesus, let's just tell the truth, a Christian's a follower of Jesus. Is that right, Dean?
Yes.
Okay. If Jesus was talking to you about the kingdom and the mansion he's preparing in heaven and he was started puffing on a cigar stub, would you think there's something wrong with that picture?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Okay. Well, it does something to our witness as well as our health. And I used to smoke. I know it's a struggle. My dad smoked cigars. I used to love the smell, but... Hey, I feel so much better being able to breathe free. And, you know, it's an indulgence that you might need to deny yourself of and be a consistent witness.
Yeah.
Oh, I started talking about the traffic lights. Yeah, of course, red light for the things that are forbidden. Certain things, moderation, we talked about honey, which would be sugar. A little bit's okay. Too much is bad for you. And then there are some things, green light, you know, an abundance of the fruits, grains, vegetables, and things that God has. But even moderation. I mean, a person can eat too much of even Brussels sprouts, I suppose.
Yeah, even water that you open the program with, it's possible actually to drink too much water.
Yeah, that's where we talked about that tonight. Someone actually died from drinking too much water. But
that sounds like drowning.
Yeah, you can kind of drown on the inside, I suppose. Appreciate that, Dean. Thank you very much for your call. And we're going to talk next with talking with Michelle, who's I'm doing Pastor Ross's job, so I got to man the phones. Michelle, WMCA, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is not health related, but it's good to have the doctor on. I'm very health conscious myself. But anyway, I'd like to know what does the Bible have to say regarding women pastors?
Well, there's a silence in the Bible on the subject. What I mean by that is all of the men who were ordained as priests or pastors, well, I just said it, they were all men.
Mm-hmm.
Women are called to ministry just like men are called to ministry. But the role of the pastor is different in that in the Old Testament, you have women who are prophets. You've got women who were judges. But there's no example of a woman serving in the capacity in the Bible of an apostle, a priest, or a pastor.
So then is it, would you say that it's wrong, biblically speaking, to for a woman to pastor a church in 2000, nowadays?
Yes.
You think it's out of God?
I think that the family, God established the family. You go all the way back to Genesis, and it's consistently commented on all the way through the writings of Paul, mm-hmm. that in the family, men are to be the priest, servant, leaders.
Mm-hmm.
The church is an extension of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the same way, the men should be the servant leaders in the role of pastor. But that doesn't mean that women cannot share their gifts or minister or teach in the capacity of ministry. You know, I just wrote a book. We've had so many questions on this. I wrote a book that just came out about a month ago. Mm-hmm. I'll send you a free copy if you'd like.
Oh, thank you.
And it's called Women in Ministry. Mm-hmm. And if you call the number I'm about to give you, it's the live line for Amazing Facts Resources. That resource line is 800. It's a free phone call, Michelle. 800-835-6747. Tell them you're listening to Bible Answers Live and that you are requesting the free book that Pastor Doug just wrote on women in ministry. We'd be happy to send that to you. Appreciate your call. We're going to talk next with David, who's listening from Shreveport, Louisiana on KQAR. Welcome, David. You're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor?
Very well.
Okay, I've got a question here in the book of Joel, 2nd chapter, verse 28. And it said, "It should come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see vision." And my thing is, what is this verse's meaning? Because, like I said, I actually have dreams and see things that comes to pass. And it sometimes it scares me, and sometimes it doesn't, because, like I say, it's hard to interpret what these dreams are really meaning.
Well, now, dreams come from a number of things. And I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, "A dream cometh through the multitude of business." And so sometimes, you know, if you spend all day working in an auto parts store, you might go to sleep thinking about numbers and spark plugs. If you do anything a lot, it can stimulate dreams. You can have all kinds of dreams because your mind, when you sleep, and Dr. Nedley is more of an expert on this, the computer's sort of rebooting during the night. I don't know if that's the layman's terms.
Yeah, it's called REM sleep, and that's where you dream. It's a natural part of sleeping. And if you were to watch someone dream, their eyes would actually dart underneath their closed eyelids in a rapid fashion, and you know that they're dreaming at that time. If you were to wake them up at that point, they'd be able to tell you what they were dreaming about.
Yeah, so often people get up more slowly, and by the time they're conscious, they can't remember their dreams like Nebuchadnezzar.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I've had them like that a lot myself. You know, I can dream some things, and I'd be seeing it, and then when I wake up, it's like I'm struggling trying to remember what it was, but I've actually seen some things. I'm talking about I had one dream that was so precise. I'm talking about I actually saw this guy's face, what he was doing in the dream, and I'm talking about it was the same way it was in the dream.
Now, the Lord does, I want to be careful to not dismiss that God can speak through dreams,
mm-hmm.
because you've got examples in the Bible where the Lord speaks through a number of dreams and visions. Nebuchadnezzar, the Pharaoh, the people that were in prison with Joseph, and God gave dreams to individuals from every rank of society. Sometimes God will give a dream to a person, and it's a personal message just for them. It's not a message for the world. God gave a dream to Joseph about, you know, what to do with the baby and Mary. Sometimes he'll give a dream to a prophet where he's supposed to proclaim it. Sometimes the Lord will just, you know, impress you with some guidance through a dream, as I mentioned. But, yeah, one thing I don't have, and I don't know if Dr. Nedley has the gift of interpretation. So, you know, we probably can't help you interpret that dream, David. But, you know, we do have a lesson that we'll send you, and it's talking about, does God inspire astrologers and psychics? It talks about dreams and visions and you know, where these things come from and how can you tell a true prophet from a false prophet and the outpouring of the Spirit. You call the toll-free number, 800-835-6747. Ask for the lesson on prophets and visions, and we'll send you a copy of that. We're going to talk next with Pam, who's calling from Tulare, California, on KARM. Welcome, Pam. You're on the air.
Good evening, Pastor Batchelor and Dr. Nedley. I am a GI nurse practitioner, and my son was recently diagnosed with pancolitis. We put him on the medication. The medication has actually made him very loopy, which I have never seen with any patients before. I'm trying to change his diet and make him more healthy, which he's 27 years old, and he leads a very different lifestyle than I do. I just don't know, health-wise, can you think of any foods that would help him out and be better for him?
Well, the Genesis diet is a good diet when you have an autoimmune disease. Pancolitis normally is an autoimmune disease where the body's attacking itself.
Correct.
And so staying away particularly from dairy and meat and eating the Genesis 127 diet of fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. We've noticed in colitis it's better not to eat fruits and vegetables at the same meal, but have fruits at one meal, vegetables at another. And there's also some other plant foods that can have some medicinal properties in pancolitis. Aloe vera is one of those. And another one is slippery elm. That would be the slippery elm powder. Also, obviously, it would need to be followed closely by the physician in charge of him as well.
Very good. Well, we will try that. I've tried to get him to go on the dairy-free, meat-free diet and just haven't had a whole lot of luck with that.
Well, the best you can do, of course, is share the truth with him, pray for him that his heart will be softened by it and that he'll try and implement some of these
things. And that's what many of us are doing.
Yep.
All right.
Appreciate your call,
much.
Pam. Once again, listening friends, we have a guest in the studio tonight, Dr. Neil Nedley, who is not only a very successful practicing physician, internist, but is a Christian, a student of the Bible, and has found just a wealth of information that relates the Bible to practical Christian health. And if you have any questions on that, we still have a few minutes left. Let me see here. We have Belva has been waiting patiently from Maupin, Oregon, and you're on the air, Belva.
Hello.
And your question?
My question is, when Jesus was brought in to be tried and stuff, was it necessary for them to beat him as badly as they did, or did they just do that because they wanted to?
Well, it was necessary in the sense that Christ suffered for our sins, and the Father allowed a measure of suffering commensurate with, you know, the sins of the world.
Well, I know he had to be crucified, and he had somewhat of a hit, because I did read in Isaiah where they said he, or is it Ezekiel, anywhere they would be spit on him and stuff.
That's
like
Isaiah.
That. But okay. But how they did that, and they blindfolded him, they beat him and stuff. Was that necessary?
Well, in a sense, it was for you and me because he took our place, and everything Jesus went through from the moment he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. See, his taking the penalty for sin is not just death. Some people think the penalty for sin is you just close your eyes and you're dead. The penalty for sin is punishment and death. The wicked who are lost, they don't just close their eyes and go to sleep. They are rewarded according to their works. There is punishment and then death. Jesus not only died for our sins, he suffered and died. And the degree of suffering he experienced from the Garden of Gethsemane through, you know, when he said it is finished, represents his taking what we deserve. And that ought to, of course, melt our hearts with love for him. That, you know, the devil basically inspired that mob to extract the maximum ounce of suffering from Jesus, because the devil just hates Christ. And he was trying to, you know, just inflict as much torture on him as he could.
That's what I was wondering, whether it was necessary for them as much beating as he got, or if it was just because they wanted to and the devil instigated that.
Yeah, you're on the right track. The devil inspired that mob. It was not customary to torture and to mock and to torment a regular condemned prisoner as much as they did with Jesus. There was additional circumstances there and hatred. They were after him because of jealousy, the religious leaders. Thank you for your question, Belva. We're going to talk next to Mary, who is calling from North Arlington, New Jersey, listening on WMCA. Welcome to the program, Mary. You're on the air.
Yes, Doctor. Good evening, Doctor. Good evening, Pastor.
Evening.
I'm calling about some health problem.
Yes.
I underwent surgery for cancer 3 years ago, and I had radiation, but I'm grossly overweight, and I'm trying to lose the weight, but it's a battle, and I don't want to take any of those things that they haven't put in my body again. So
yes.
What can I do?
Dr. Medley?
That's very good that you're wanting to lose weight, because obesity is actually one of the causes of cancer, and so by reversing that cause, it can help out.
And I have high blood pressure also, so I want to lose the weight.
Yes. Lowering the calories is important. In other words, no sugar, no fat, no free fat, and no sugar. Also,
I don't use sugar.
Very good. How about oils or fats? How do you do that with that?
I hardly use oil. Might be canola or
yes.
palm spray.
And the Bible also talks about denying self. And, of course, that really is the cure for gluttony. It's the cure for overeating. And basically, when we eat less calories and we expend more energy in exercise, we will lose weight. And so those two things combined can help out. Another thing that we have noticed is if you don't eat in the evening hours, we're really meant to eat breakfast and lunch. Supper, for someone who's overweight, it's a much easier to lose weight if you don't eat after 3 o'clock in the afternoon and just drink water.
Okay.
The Bible also commends fasting. And if you're able to do so, fasting a day or two a week actually stimulates the immune system. It's been shown to be helpful, even in certain cancerous conditions. And if your doctor thinks it's okay for you to fast a day or two a week, that will also help out.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we'll be praying for you, May, that the Lord gives you a new beginning in following some of these practices.
I just want to lose the weight. I'm about 180 pounds, and I'm just 5 feet tall.
You can do it.
Yeah.
All things, Jesus says all things are possible with the Lord. And let's pray that today is a turning point for you. All right, talking next with Marilyn, who's calling from Garfield, New Jersey on WMCA as well. Welcome, Marilyn. You're on the air with Amazing Facts and Doug Batchelor and Dr. Nedley.
Okay, thank you. I enjoy your show every Sunday night, Pastor Doug.
Praise
Learning
the Lord.
Learning a lot. I have a health-related question right now. I have a friend of mine, a woman is about 76 years old, and she has several autoimmune-type diseases like Sjögren's disease and osteo, and she has a gluten-free diet. I guess that's Sprue disease, I think it is. But is there anything that she can do, any diet that she can take to help her with that?
Well, there are some plant foods that can help with the autoimmune phenomenon. The omega-3 foods are very helpful, and those would be foods like flaxseed, English walnuts. Actually, almonds are also very helpful. The Bible talks about almonds in a very good way because it's one of the foods that was in the most holy place of the sanctuary. And complex carbohydrates, which is what manna was made out of, combined with almonds, can help out in regards to autoimmune disease. And so I would recommend those type of foods as being helpful. Also staying away particularly from the animal foods. And meats in particular can be helpful as well.
Uh-huh. Okay. And she also was just diagnosed with a liver. They think she has cirrhosis of the liver. She wasn't, didn't have any alcohol in her history or anything. We don't know where that's coming from, but
lowering the fat intake and also being a plant-based vegetarian can prolong your life with cirrhosis of the liver significantly. It can still be a fatal disease, but we've had people that were sentenced basically 3 months to live, and when they changed to a plant-based vegetarian, expanded their lifespan by 5-6 years.
Well, praise the Lord. And they can maybe find some more information if they go to Dr. Nedley's website, which is Dr. Nedley. That's drnedley.com. And he's got a lot of wonderful information there on even cooking information, on Bible-based foods and diets. I've got a question from Ed, who's calling in from Hysteria, California, on Radio 74. Did I say Hysteria? You there,
Hysteria.
Ed?
Hi, this is Ed, Hysteria. Does the Bible have a diet or organic food to reduce high cholesterol?
Well, the Genesis diet was actually a very good diet to reduce high cholesterol. There's no cholesterol in fruits, grains, nuts, or vegetables. And that's the Genesis diet. And most people, when they get on a diet that's plant-based like that, they'll be able to lower their cholesterol between 60 and 120 points in about 6 weeks.
Wow.
As good as medication. There's been studies shown on that. Daniel also had a diet that was very good in that as well, and his was also plant-based, and that's outlined in Daniel chapter 1.
Well, praise the Lord. That's incredible. We have 1 minute. There's the music. I was going to say, we got a call from Hawaii. Rose, give us a chance. You can call back next week, and we'll do our best to answer your question. Listening friends, if we did not get your call tonight, then we're here by God's grace every Sunday evening. It's rebroadcast on some stations. Want to thank Dr. Neil Nedley for joining us for the program. Well, hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, that would be great, Doug.
And it's a pleasure to help people feel better, especially when they see the connection between the Word of God and long life. Keep in mind, listening friends, this program has been brought to you by Amazing Facts. It is entirely supported by you. If you have been blessed or edified by the things you've heard tonight, we pray that you'll consider dropping us a line. You can simply go to the Amazing Facts website. That's amazingfacts.org. We'd like to hear from you. You can send Bible questions. We'll read them on the program on the internet. Just go to the contact button there and send us your questions and a note. Remember, it's all about Jesus, the truth that will set you free.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747. Millions of Christians today are talking about the rapture, the tribulation, and the millennium. But what does the Bible say about these end-time topics? Prophecy's Final Four is an exciting in-depth look at the Second Coming, available on DVD. It's available for $45, which includes shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-835-6747. Order today, that's 1-800-835-6747, and ask for offer number 265. Do you long to escape the burden of negative emotions like guilt, fear, or shame? Pastor Doug's four-cassette series, God's Healing Ways, explores the beautiful restorative love of God and offers a path to joy. This set is available for $20. Just call 1-800-835-6747 and ask for offer number 261. Take the path to joy today by ordering God's Healing Ways. That phone number again is 1-800-835-6747.